Well, it's good to be with you again, to be before you for just a few moments to maybe suggest some thoughts to you that would be helpful to you as we strive to serve our Lord. If you'd like to read along with me this morning, I want to begin in Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Isaiah, the 35th chapter, is 10 verses long, and I'd like to read it. Kind of have to read all of it together to get the point, but it is actually the song that we, or the hymn we just sang that Clayton led us in. And it's a great chapter, one of the beautiful, considered one of the more beautiful chapters in the Old Testament and that has been inspired for us. It's good to be with you again. Good to be able to discuss some things we find in God's Word. Appreciate the singing. Sounded good this morning. Appreciate your efforts. Isaiah 35, we begin in verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as they rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The water shall burst forth in the wilderness, the streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. One of the beautiful chapters, really, that we have from the pen of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote some others that are really nice. This is probably one of his better known ones. As I said, as we just sang a few moments ago, walking to Zion, on our way to Zion. And I think as you read it, I think you recognize he's not really talking about what happens in the desert someplace or what happens necessarily in everyday lives. He's talking about spiritual lives, spiritual realities. And he's putting forth these things, and that's why it's such a wonderful thought for us just to sing to this day. The wonderful idea is that there will be a highway there, a road, and it should be called the highway of holiness. I mean, you recognize it's not physical, it's spiritual. But it is a great thought. Over in Isaiah the 39th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, look with me over there. In Isaiah the 39th chapter, and this is when Isaiah was writing, and Isaiah wrote a couple hundred years before the children of Israel went into captivity, but like in the 800s BC, something like that. And Isaiah goes into King Hezekiah, and Isaiah is thought to have been royalty in some way, connected to the family somehow. You just didn't walk into the king and say hello. But he was somehow associated with it. And so he was able to go in. One of the things he told King Hezekiah, verse 3, Isaiah 39, verse 3. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say and from where did they come to you? And so Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them. Verse 5, Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left." That's kind of the opposite side of what we read in the 35th chapter. Isaiah was writing in a difficult time. The people of Israel were ungodly. I guess that's the only word you could say for it. They weren't living the kind of life that God would expect of his people. And the prophets continually cried out about it, that they would be taken to Babylon, and they would be taken to Babylon in captivity after years and years of warnings from God. And even when Israel was carried off to Babylon after the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar, many of the false prophets that were among the thousands and thousands of people were saying, we'll be here just for a little while. This is just something that's sort of a side problem that we're having to face. If you're following along, look over Jeremiah, well, the next book, Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And Jeremiah in Jerusalem writes a letter to all of the people who are now over there in Babylon and just recently have gone over there, and they're hearing a lot of things that are not so. And Jeremiah the prophet writes a letter to them. Well, just look at Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive. So they're in Babylon. He's writing this letter to them. Let's see, drop down to verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, he says. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Verse 6, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Boy, what a great point he's talking about. They're in captivity, he said, and pray for that city. But my point was down further in verse 10. Jeremiah continues, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, my good word toward you and cause you, my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. They were going to be in captivity for 70 years. And you can imagine how the overlay of the generations would work. Obviously, the mature grown generation that existed then that walked all the way to Babylon, they would be gone pretty quick. And even the next generation, and it would be a new generation that had never seen the promised land, would be the ones who would be coming back. And they would be taking the same route that Abraham took. When Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he would go right up. If you look back in your Bible and see a map, you see he went right up the Euphrates River as far as he could go, and then turned and came down into the Promised Land. And that's about the way they did for thousands of years. I mean, the Euphrates is kind of like the Mississippi. It's about a mile wide or something like that. So I think that today they have probably 10 bridges across the Euphrates. And the Mississippi has like 130 or something like that. But they just couldn't in that part of the world do that. But they would return and have to return the way of Abraham and come to the promised land. And we recognize all of this is terms and words that are spiritual. They're not physical, because physically the situation was just absolutely terrible. But back here in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, I'm just impressed with verse 8 where it says, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although fool, shall not go astray. The highway of holiness. And still the prophets of God are trying to teach the people of Israel after all these years. I mean, this is 200-300 years after King David. They wander off in their thinking, and it's not too long until they're practicing things they shouldn't be. And the entire nation becomes corrupt at it. And God literally has to take the nation off into captivity. And that generation would be done away with. And there would be a new generation that would be coming back. And they would be walking a highway of holiness, or else, is really what he's getting at. And there's so many great points there for us. Just as you read that statement, a highway should be there and a road. And it should be called the highway of holiness. Number one, it's an appointed road. It's something that is dedicated. It is something that has a purpose to it. Just like we read in John 14, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. And obviously, it implies that we're not at liberty to exercise our judgment and how we're going to conduct ourselves and which way we're going to walk. God was pretty specific here when he's talking about there's going to be a road there. And it's a way of life that we're going to have to walk. And those who didn't want to walk that way didn't come back. And when they came back, they found the conditions to be very difficult. Those who entered would enter by the authority of Christ. Coming back over into the New Testament, we read in Galatians, the third chapter, Galatians 3, verse 26, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For, verse 27, for as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's the idea he's getting at. They're walking here by divine authority and the respect of the divine teaching and the entire journey. As you read again, if you go back and just read all of these words, the way he describes it, the ransomed in verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And that's what they were ransomed from incarceration. They will come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It will be the joy of being people who are in fellowship with God and seeing the things of God and being blessed of God. But it is an appointed way. We have to walk this path. That's what he wants. That takes us back to Matthew 7, 13, 14. We're talking about in class. You either enter the narrow gate or you enter the broad gate. The narrow gate is the one that has the difficulty. But it's God's way. It is the demand of the Lord that does not allow us to live and think and act in the ways of the world. The entire journey from Babylon back to the promised land was under the divine direction, just like us and as we come to the Lord. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Go and make disciples of all nations. He's calling all nations, listen to my word. And that's the only way we're going to be able to have people come to the Lord and be people who are described as a way of holiness, because it's God's way. Right? That's the only way to say it. And what he's saying here in Isaiah 35 is what he's saying today. We walk God's way or we don't walk in holiness. You remember over in the book of Acts when Luke is talking about Peter coming to the house of Cornelius, and he gets there and Peter tells him in verse 34, Acts the 10th chapter, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. It's an appointed, assigned, ruled way. That's what he's making. That's what he's trying to get the Jewish people to see back there in Isaiah 35. And it's the very same thing we're trying to get across today. Come back with me in Isaiah 35 and you read verse 8. Again, we read this. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Not only is it an appointed way, it's a plain way. I mean, it's straightforward. It's easily understood of what God wants, how he wants us to live. We were talking about that in class, where Peter said, add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and love. You've heard those words and you know those words. It don't take 10 minutes to look up the definition of those words, but you might spend the rest of your life applying those ideas to your life. That's the kind of person that he wants of us. This is what he wants. It's plain. It's straightforward. Whoever walks that road, though fool, he shall not go astray. If he has the determination that I'm going to follow the Lord. It's a narrow road. Very narrow. As we said in Matthew 7:13. But it's plain. It's straightforward. This is what God said. This is the way I want. It's the way of the Lord. When we read, for example, over in Proverbs 29:23, he says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. There's some people that are not going to walk the road of holiness. They're just not going to do it. And I guess it just started in the Garden of Eden. But God says, here is my road. Here's what I expect of you. And this is the way it's going to be. And he says, a highway shall be there. A highway is an elevated part. Actually, it means to elevate. We've seen elevated roadways. And the road was simply a path, a guidance, a direction. But we understand it just as he's talking about it. James, the fourth chapter in verse 6, James writes this. He said, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Or humble, if you say it that way. People who have the frame of mind, the disposition to be attuned to the will of the Lord, they will follow him. They will be blessed. And they will be described as those walking the highway of holiness. Or today, as we'd say it, walking in fellowship with our Lord. Walking with him. Being identified by him. And if it were not plain and straightforward in the things he says, what he wants, what he doesn't want, it couldn't be for all mankind. I mean you've got to be straightforward about it and simple for people to let them understand. I mean, Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel. The good news, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's not that difficult. I mean, there's a lot of arguing and disagreeing and fussing that goes on about it, but it's not that hard to understand. But that's what he said. Jesus said, do this, go into all the world and preach this. Because we are saved of the Lord, we lived a life of sin, therefore we need the idea of simplicity. And we have that in the gospel of Christ. The fact, the simplicity of the gospel is what causes many people to stumble. I think that's what was happening over in 1 Corinthians when you read the first chapter, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I read down let's look at verse 20. He just makes this statement. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. What we consider simplicity is something for some reason in their thinking they will completely trip over. They don't agree with something. It's almost childish to them. It's something they don't want to hear. Because he goes on to say in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's an appointed way, a designated way, but it's also plain right here in front of us. We can understand it and we can read it. Go back with me again to the 35th chapter. We read verse 8 and read verse 9. Verse 8, a highway shall be there in a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Seems like he's saying it's going to be, if we walk in that appointed way, if we walk in that plain way, that it will be a safe way. It will be an understandable way. People who have traveled this road would be protected from the perils that are common to mankind, common to people in that day and time, common to people today. The final destination, as these people walk this road, the final destination and the arrival, they would never be endangered. Well, that's the point he's making. He just says, no lion shall be there. There's not going to be that threat to someone who's humble enough to hear the word of the God and just simply walk by it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Read that one before and talked about it before. But 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's not going to let something happen like that. You're going to be tempted. Oh, yeah. You're going to be tried. But by the promise of God, you can deal with it. And he expects us by faith and trust in the Lord to do that very thing. Look with me over in 2 Corinthians. You remember where Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians 12, where he's talking about he had the thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times to remove it. Let's see, down at verse 7. I like the way sometimes we don't read that last verse, but 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Considering this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Strong people don't need God, do they? That's about what he's saying. But weak people who recognize him, they come to the Lord. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10 is what I wanted to look at. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is a safe way. This is a way that we can approach God and we have the promises of God. There will be no temptation come to you such as you cannot handle. There will be a promise of the Lord that is with you constantly. Over back in, let me just read for you, Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verse 26 and 27. He says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Recognize that we're simply following the Lord just as he would have us to do it, and have the faith and trust to continue to do it. A life of holiness, a life of integrity requires the attention of our heart, our speech, our eyes, our conduct, our friends. If we're going to walk in holiness before the Lord and be set apart, I like what Brother Thompson said in his book, his outline. He made the statement, the text is but a practical way of saying that though the path of life is narrow and difficult, it gives safety to those who walk in it. Well, what a great point. So when we think about this highway of holiness, it's appointed, it's designated, it's a certain way, contrary to what so many people think. And then it's plain, it's straightforward, it's almost childless, or most a child can understand. Thirdly, it's safe if we would abide by this strict teaching. But let me end just in our study this morning. It's a homeward way. It leads home. And that's what this whole chapter is about, Isaiah 35. 200 years before they're taken off into Babylonian captivity, Isaiah was writing about it. And Isaiah was saying, you're going to go into captivity, but you will come back as those who are devoted to the Lord, and those who weren't stayed behind. And that's so important, because they recognize they would be going home and they would come singing. Now, when they got home, it was difficult because the Jerusalem they left many years before was not the same. And they would have to spend years building it back. But the way of promise is the arrival at home, to walk with the Lord, always, to walk with the Lord today. He says, follow me. I am the way. I'm leading home. The whole value and the whole significance of a road that is traveled for a reason is where it's leading to. Now, if you're just out driving on Sunday afternoon and take a drive, that's different. But if you're wanting to go to St. Louis, you don't go through Houston. You know that. We understand there's a certain way in which we find ourselves accomplishing what God would have us to be and do. C.S. Lewis wrote a good point many years ago. He said, one road leads home. All the rest of them lead to the wilderness. That was a part of a story he was telling, but it's such a great thought that there is a road and it leads home. And where does this road lead? It lies at the end of our way. What is there? Proverbs 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Verse 19. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Highway of holiness. I hope that's what we're walking in, and we're knowledgeable of it, and we think about it. It's a highway that's headed home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, we extend to you heaven's invitation. Those who might need to confess Christ, be baptized into Christ, or maybe some child of God has not lived as they should, maybe they need the prayers of the brethren, be more than happy to go to God on your behalf. If you're subject this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing?